From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon for Tuesday, October 10th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher Gwyneth Cheesh Hawa, for joining the conversation. On today's show, the Musk Egg Collective is a new music group comprised of some Juno musicians, and they are having a honky-tonk hootenanny this Saturday. A social dance retreat is scheduled for this weekend, featuring local instructors teaching a variety of styles, including West Coast swing, blues, salsa, and more. The Juno World Affairs Council Fall Forum is happening this week. This year's topic is immigration, detention, and power, addressing bias and prejudice. We'll have a preview. And this Thursday, the Juno Audubon Society is hosting a talk on the plight of the penguin. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. This week is KTOO's fall membership campaign. Juno Afternoon is one of the many programs and features that KTOO offers to the community and appreciates your support. If you've never become a member, now is a great opportunity to show support for the programs you love, including Juno Afternoon. We appreciate those of you who are already members, and it's a great reminder for you to take a moment to be sure your membership is up to date or consider making an additional gift. Thank you for your support. Visit KTOO.org and hit the donate button.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Thank you. and flow like a bird on the wing, like a melody fang in the back of your mind. Let's float in the arms of the walls across the Milky Way till we lose all time. Let's
nice. Awesome. Awesome. Have a seat right here. You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. I'm Boston Christopher. What do you get when you cross some of the best musicians in town and they decide to get together and form a super band? Well, that's right. You get the Musk Egg Collective, or at least today on the air, we have 2/5 of the Musk Egg Collective. And this Saturday, October 14th, they are having a concert. It's the first one of the Musk Egg Collective in Juneau. Is that right?
It is,
okay.
Yeah.
And the Honky Tonk Happy Hour begins at 6 p.m. and the music starts at 7. Here to share about the collective are Aaron Heist and Andrew Heist. Gunnath Cheesh for you both being here today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. It's such a treat. We're sorry we couldn't have more members to help buff out the sound, but
it's all good. I mean, I know some people are traveling and all that, but they're getting ready for this event that's coming on Saturday. So, but first, we all know the different, you know, well, we're going to get into it, but how did the Musk Egg Collective come about and who are the other 3/5 of the collective?
Yes. So the other members are Annie Bartholomew, who folks probably know from her amazing musical last year, Whitechapel Woman. And then she also released an album this last summer. Josh Fortenberry, who a lot of folks around town know as a band member with Andrew in Taking Care of Bluegrass. Mm-hmm. He is also a really phenomenal songwriter, and he has a solo album coming out this spring of 2024, that everybody actually in the collective is on that album, which is really exciting. And then Taylor Vittick, who... what doesn't Taylor do?
If you live in Juno, you know Taylor Vittick.
If you know anything about music in Juno, exactly. For sure, you know, yeah. Who Taylor Vittick is.
A lot of people maybe don't know that they've heard some of her original music or haven't had a chance to hear her original music, but she also is a really phenomenal songwriter and is working on a solo album project.
And she had an awesome event this last June with the Juno Symphony.
Yes.
And that was really good as well. It was her and Spencer Edgars who were
exactly
made that happen with the symphony. It was really, really cool. So that's good. So how did the five of you decide to do what? How did this come about that you decided to get together and be a band?
Well, it's sort of not a band.
Okay.
And it's been hard to explain because I feel like we're sort of forging new territory a little bit here. But so I released an album of my original songs in April of 2022 and self-released, like a lot of musicians do mm-hmm. now, especially. And that process is pretty intense. It's really involved. It takes a lot of research. It takes a lot of time. You basically become a small business owner anytime you solo release an album.
Hell yeah. And there's tons of ancillary stuff that you don't necessarily think about as mm-hmm. far as how to successfully release an album and make everybody aware of it mm-hmm. and do your best to get it get played. And so as Aaron's husband and partner, I watched her not only work on the music and the recording, but then work tirelessly on these additional processes. So I think
the promotion, the getting it out there and
exactly.
all the other things that are part of
and
that.
And the yeah. making of the actual physical object and getting your records printed in the Czech Republic and mm. things like
getting
that.
Getting your rights sorted out yep. and all mm. that sort of stuff. And so when Annie, you know, Andrew and I were lucky enough to participate in Annie's album, mm-hmm. which is amazing. And so I knew her album was coming out. Taylor got a Rasmussen grant shortly thereafter. Josh got a grant from Juno Community Foundation for an album. And so that winter, I just said, well, let's just have dinner and I'll share with you some of the things I learned. And really, honestly, it almost was like a therapy session mm-hmm. For other people who are as deep in it as I had been. And I think also just the fact that the four of us are taking our music pretty seriously and writing original music that is very specific to this place. Mm-hmm. It just felt like we were very aligned. And so we're having these meetings and sharing resources. And one of the things we decided to do is essentially become like a cooperative label for each other. We just thought, oh, well, how about we basically work as a label? We'll promote each other. We'll sort of cross promote. We'll figure out, you know, ways that we can share these resources in a more concrete fashion. And then this summer, Annie got asked by the Golden Saloon in McCarthy, Alaska, to play a show. And she said, well, can I bring my friends? And so she pitched us that we take the Musket Collective on the road and see if we couldn't figure out how to perform together.
Nice.
And that was just in early August. So this is very fresh.
And it was magical.
Totally magical.
It was amazing.
It was probably the most fun I've had on a musical trip ever.
Wow. So you guys really all gelled together and it just became a thing. So it's more, instead of a band, it's more like a project or a collective.
It's a collective. Well, and part of what makes it fun, extra fun for us is, again, we're playing our original music. And so, you know, for instance, what we're going to do at Cowboy Ball is very similar to what we did in McCarthy, where the first part of the show, we each have individual acts. So each of us are sort of running a set of songs that are our original songs.
Gotcha.
And the way that those songs will be performed, every song is going to be different. It could be, you know, for my set, it might just be me and my guitar on one song, and then me and Andrew on a song, and then me and everybody in the collective on a song, or me and three people. And that's how we're all doing it, where we're kind of jumping up and down on the stage and mixing and mashing. So you kind of get a never-ending variety of style and music, because also the four of us aren't exactly in the same genre, and all of us have fairly different voices. Mm-hmm. And then the sort of last third of the show is more of like the party, like in bluegrass, it would be an all y'all.
All like y'all.
Everybody on stage.
Okay. All right.
So that's kind of more like the party set, where we're going to be doing more covers. That's more, leans a little bit more country, because we do have sort of country, I think, most, that's sort of like the easiest way to talk about sort of the threads that connect us are sort of folk and country.
Gotcha. Okay. So where is it happening?
It's going to happen at the Jack.
The Jack. Okay. And I know it starts at 7 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, there might be some an opening.
Yeah. Well, so 6 is doors are open.
Doors open at 6.
And 7 is when music starts. And
great.
We're doing 6 doors open, 7 to start, because we really want to start at 7.
That sounds good. And I have a question. Okay.
Yeah.
So I've seen it called the Cowboy Ball. Uh-huh. I've seen you refer to it as a hootenanny. Uh-huh. I've heard a honky tonk. Uh-huh. And I've heard a hoedown. Uh-huh. So are those all the same thing?
I mean, speaking as someone who grew up in Juneau, Alaska, from my perspective, yes. I mean, somebody down in Texas might have a very specific idea.
Yeah, you don't want anybody getting mad at you down in Texas.
I mean, I think, yes, it's a party.
It's a party.
It's a party.
Yeah.
We're encouraging people to dress up, which is why it's called a ball. So we'll get to that.
So your sort of fancy dress, Western wear.
Yeah, I heard there was like a costume contest potentially. So if you dress up, you're automatically entered into the contest.
Well, we're going to have a contest host.
Okay.
Who I actually have no idea how it's really going to work, but
I imagine that you will opt in at some point at the intermission.
Okay.
You can opt in to participate.
And probably need to strut a little bit.
Sauntering.
Sauntering with your spurs else you got going.
Whatever you got.
You could do a little like solo line dance.
Your hat and bring your loop, your rope if you
lasso,
need to. Lasso,
yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sounds like
you're going to be in the competition.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I've been, Andrew and I have been crafting the prize for the winner. So.
Oh, nice.
It's a secret prize.
Very fancy.
It's very fancy.
Sounds very, I can tell it's going to be very fancy.
It's going to be great.
So I guess we get a sense of like what we're going to hear on Saturday. I heard there might be some other special guests as well in terms of music.
Yeah, well, you know, Juneau is just so musically rich. It's a hometown show. We're pulling in some hometown heroes and friends. So Lindsay Clark and James Chang, who are band members of Andrew and Josh's from Taking Care of Bluegrass.
Hold on, Aaron.
Oh.
It's Ace High Lindsay Clark and Lucky James Chang.
Thank you for the correction.
Yeah. So they got some extra names. I think that's some Taylor Vittick work right there.
That sounds definitely Taylor Vittick work. Trademark.
There are many benefits to having Taylor Vittick in your collective. Yeah, so they're going to jump up. You know, I mean, like I was sort of describing, it's going to be very fluid. The styles of songs are going to change song to song. I definitely have some of my original songs that are very much in the bluegrass vein. And so I need some bluegrass help for those kinds of songs.
Gotcha.
I have songs that are more in sort of like the rock vein. So we'll be veering in that direction. You know, Andrew's going to play like five different instruments. Josh is going to play, I think, three or four.
Yeah, it's really fun to be a part of it. And so the collective came together as the four people who were releasing original music. So so Josh and Aaron and Annie and Taylor. And I ended up being on three out of four of their recordings already. And I'm sort of a noodler for hire. So I can...
This is a noodle factory.
Yeah. Right, so I can add accompaniment to everybody and harmony singing and all that stuff. And it'll be a fun chance to get to play a bunch of different instruments. And
that's going to be so fun. It's again, it's Saturday. It's October 14th. It starts at 7. Doors open at 6. And speaking of Taylor Vittick, if you want to attend, but maybe the ticket price is too high for you, there are volunteer opportunities. And you can email, I'm going to give it out because she has it publicly here, taylor.vittick@gmail.com. Vittick is vidic@gmail.com. I'll link to that as well on the webpage for this episode. There are opportunities because you want everybody to hoe down with you, which is awesome. So, Aaron and Andrew, thanks so much for coming in today. Give us a little sneak peek. Can we go out with another song?
Would that
be great? A little bit more of a preview of what we're going to hear on Saturday. So while they get back up to the microphone, I want to remind you again that tickets are available at jahc.org for the Cowboy Ball, the Hootenanny, the Hoedown, whatever you want to call it. Up next is the Rainforest Rendezvous. They're going to have a social dance retreat happening this weekend. You're listening to member-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Here's two-fifths of the Musk Egg Collective. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Glenadie have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot, once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life. For today, and for future generations. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That was a little Leah Navarro, continuing in our Filipino-American History Month of playing music from Filipino artists and also celebrating the launch of the Magacuento project here from KTOO in partnership with both the Juno Douglas City Museum and Filipino Community Inc. You can go to ktoo.org/Filipinos in Alaska for more information. Listen to the podcast, and you can go visit the museum exhibit through like the third week of November or something like that. So that's the best way to find out more information is ktoo.org. So this weekend, our next guests who love to teach and organize social dance events are presenting the Rainforest Rendezvous, a social dance retreat. Welcome, Daniel and Eric, co-organizers of this event. Ganesh, for being here today.
Thank you, and Ganesh, for having us.
Of course. It's so nice to have you all here. Now, you guys are organizing something that sounds really fun. It's like, is it 3 days of various different workshops and dance and celebration? Tell us a little bit about what this Rainforest Rendezvous is.
Sure. Yeah, it's 3 days, all weekend long, from Friday evening to Sunday and all day on Saturday out at the Methodist camp out the road.
Wow.
We're just trying to bring together really the whole dance community of Juno, which has been, you know, with the post-COVID times, it's been a little bit slow to get things going again. And yeah. So we're going to have a whole range of local instructors doing a variety of partner dance styles, like salsa and swing and blues. And that's the main ones.
Now, are people going out each day, or are you camping out there, or...
Right, exactly. Yeah, we got the cabins. For people who are familiar with the Methodist camp, there are the summer cabins, and then there's the winter cabins. And we got the winter cabins, which are just nicer heated cabins.
Yeah, especially with the weather we've been
having. Exactly. Yeah. So it's, it's like dorm style kind of thing, bunk beds.
Right.
But yeah, so lodging is an option for people who want to stay out. People are welcome to come for just a class. Drop-ins are totally fine, or the whole day or the whole weekend. So it's very flexible.
That sounds so cool. Okay, so Eric, what kind of things do you teach?
Yeah, so for those of you, some people have been to classes before. I do at the Red Dog, usually do a winter series there, and I often cover West Coast swing, but often have done blues, have done like more dance foundations, kind of intro to partner dancing and, you know, musicality and things like that. We're kind of trying to pull together a few more groups. There's some new instructors in town, and we kind of want to use the event as a way to introduce people to some of the new instructors and events. You know, Kristen has been doing salsa at the Crystal Saloon on Mondays, and we want to introduce people to her. And then also there's some new instructors in town that do Lindy and blues and two-step and a number of other dances, and they'll be teaching at the college in the spring. And so we're trying to just kind of introduce the community to people and what the options are for.
So this is like an opportunity for all of the instructors to come together, sort of learn from each other probably as well. And then also, if you want to try out like tons of different styles of dance, this is the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. Right? Or also often what we refer to in the community is fusion dance, which is really pairing dances together with other types of dances. So if you are familiar with salsa and trying to incorporate elements of swing or blues into that, or vice versa, to kind of meld some of those dance styles that you may only have been familiar with one or two of them.
And yeah. Wow. Okay. Now, Daniel, I know that there is going to be lots of dancing. So I'm assuming there's going to be some food or something to energize our bodies.
That's right. We are going to have some food available for purchase.
Okay.
That's going to be an extra thing. And actually, Eric is sort of been in charge of organizing that. So he might want to say some more things, but we are going to have food available for purchase. You know, that said, if people have specific, needs or requirements, bring your own snacks.
Right. Get your trail mix ready.
Get your trail
protein,
mix ready.
All those things you need.
We'll have some snacks out, especially for the late night munchies.
And water, obviously.
And water.
Keep that body hydrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friday night, Bing and Elizabeth, who have been working the Capitol Inn this summer, they're going to do a little dinner, kind of like late dinner salad for the dance that evening. But then during the day on Saturday, Colin Peacock will be doing the meals we're doing a brunch and a dinner for that. And then Sunday morning, there'll be wild oven pastries and breads. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
I guess the other big thing is that Saturday night, kind of through dinner and into the beginning of the dance, we're going to have live music, which is going to be the Hot Club of Juno, which is newer band group that's formed. They've been playing at the Spice Cafe, and they're a really great kind of gypsy jazz oriented. Hot Club is sort of its own style of music, but kind of blues swing influenced.
Wow. This sounds like such a wonderful like time. Like how did you both, you're the co-organizers of this event. Did you just dream up this idea? Have you done something like this before? How did it all come together?
Well, we both organized some dance events and weekend workshops at, you know, we've done weekly lessons and that kind of stuff. We've also done some weekend workshops, Eric and I both sort of separately. We brought in out-of-town instructors, and we would love for this to become an annual thing, this Rainforest Rendezvous, and then also do perhaps bring in some out-of-town instructors in the future.
Yeah.
Or music, or yeah, I think
or bands. Yeah.
For me, it's really exciting to have local music because that's, you know, one of the things that often with dance, you know, we can DJ, but you know, gets old if it's just our music styles and choices all
right,
the time.
Right.
It's just there's something that really brings a lot of energy to having a live band, and there's so much musical talent in Juno that I feel like oftentimes there isn't enough opportunities or venues or, you know, and there's just a different feeling about having a dance group as opposed to a bar, you know, or a seated event of some kind.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like you want to be able to integrate both of the forms, right? So you want to get people to sort of get up and move about and all the different styles. And so many different kinds of bands now are also doing what you're talking about with the dance. They're fusing different music genres with others. And then so to be able to combine that with the idea of, you know, the different forms of dance and getting those together and just sort of the cross-pollination of that, I think that sounds great. Because as you're saying, Daniel, you have individual classes that are available that you can take in different things. But getting people together, and because I love the title of, it's the Rainforest Rendezvous, but you also called it a social dance event, right? So there's also the sort of social aspect of that. Are there going to be sort of like beyond workshops, or is there things beyond that in terms of how people will be socializing? I mean, I know that the Saturday night sort of dance with the band would be one thing, but
there's the Friday night dance, which, you know, especially if you're maybe newer to dance or you're uncertain, can be a really nice event to show up for, especially if you think you might be going to the other event on Saturday, you know, to the Muskeg Collective.
Yeah. right.
You know, Friday night can be a nice way to just to go out and meet people. And also, you know, Daniel will be doing kind of foundations and rhythms lesson that night. But also, you know, a lot of people in the dance community are excited to teach new people. And if you are curious, you see somebody dancing the way you want to dance, we really encourage people to pull those people aside and ask them some things.
Because I know this is for everybody, right? Too. Yeah. The beginners, everybody who wants to learn more, different styles, but everybody's welcome. Yeah.
And also it's family friendly too.
Oh, nice.
So it's an all ages event. So
that's great. And how do we find out more about this event or get signed up? I know there's you can pay for individual lessons, but you can also get a weekend pass. Where do we find out all that information?
The best way to sign up or to get more information is to contact me. There's an email address I can give you.
Yes, please.
JunoFusionDance@pm.me. JunoFusionDance, one word, @pm.me. Also, you can call me. My phone number is 907-209-0991.
0991. Okay, great. 209-0991. And also, I think there's a Facebook page, right?
Exactly. And if you just want to just go check it out see if you want to know more, go to Facebook, search for Rainforest Rendezvous. It should not be hard to find in your Facebook, on the Facebook feed. So
yeah, and I had a link that worked pretty well. It was bit.ly/dance retreat.
There we go.
And that'll take you right to the Facebook page, and you can find out all the information about that. Eric and Daniel, thanks so much for coming and telling us about this awesome event. It's the Rainforest Rendezvous Social Dance Retreat. It's happening this weekend. So Gunnath Cheese for being here. We're going to go out with a little bit of Outkast. Next, the Juno World Affairs Council hold their World Affairs Forum this weekend. We'll have a preview. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
My name is Natasha Boozer. I am the producer of the show Cold Fridge Conversations that airs on Thursdays on KTOO. Growing up in Juno in the 80s and 90s, there weren't a lot of Black families there, and there wasn't a lot of representation for Black culture there. I was very excited to listen to the radio, to KTO, because it was my only outlet. But I wish there had been a show like ours to make me feel more included and know that I wasn't alone. So when I produce this show, I'm always reminded of the possibility of young Black girls in Alaska right now who have the opportunity to hear someone like our host, Christine Michelle, and hear the stories that we're able to tell and know that they are not alone and that they are represented and supported in the way that I wish I could have been. When you sign up as a member of KTOO, you make this kind of content possible. You can give online at k2oo.org.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Juno World Affairs Council is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. Their goal is to encourage dialogue and understanding of important international, economic, political, and social issues. This weekend, they will, in partnership with the University of Alaska Southeast, host their annual World Affairs Forum. The topic is immigration, detention, and power, addressing bias and prejudice. And welcoming now to the studio is, Hi,
I'm Heather Parker. I'm one of the members of the Juno World Affairs Council, and I'm helping organize this forum event.
Thanks so much for coming in and telling us a little bit about this event and giving us a little bit of a preview. So tell us what is happening this weekend with this big world of, because you guys usually do like a monthly sort of event, but this is like a yearly, it's like a larger sort of couple days long sort of thing. So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for having us. So this weekend, we are having a two-day forum. It's Friday and Saturday. All events are free and open to the public. We're bringing in five speakers from around the United States to talk about issues relating to immigration, detention, and power. And our first event is at 5 p.m. on Friday, October 13th. Everything is at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall. And then we have a whole day of activities on Saturday, October 14th, also at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall. We've got five speakers who will all be giving a presentation. And then our last event is a panel discussion. And so we're really excited about this event this weekend.
Wow. It's an amazing, I'm a little struck by everything that's going on in the world right now, right? And sort of the timing of sort of this
event, right? And I don't know if it will be, if it'll influence the event at all. Do you think it will have any influence, Heather, on what is discussed this weekend?
I think it could.
Yeah.
To be honest, we initially planned this event to happen in March 2020.
One of those.
It's interesting that the topics are still so timely today.
Yeah. Because we're talking about, I mean, you have, and I love this, you have five different people coming. And give us a highlight of a couple of people who are going to be coming in and what they'll be talking about.
So our first speaker, her name is Professor Warren Binford, and she is now a professor at a university in Colorado. And she's going to be talking about the impacts of immigration on children entering the United States. We also have a speaker who's talking about weaponization of public health. That's going to be on Saturday. We have some people providing like firsthand experience. We have someone who works on the border of El Paso who will be talking. We have someone, Ari Cohen, who runs this organization, the International Center for Compassionate Organizations, and he's talking about adding compassion to policy. And then Dr. Mara Kimmel is providing an Alaska perspective on immigration. And then we'll have our final event of the forum is all five speakers will be talking about these topics.
Wow.
In a panel discussion. And the Juno World Affairs Council, our mission is to like bring timely, relevant international topics to the community of Juno by bringing kind of world-class speakers to this community. And so we do have lots of different events throughout the year. You mentioned there's usually a monthly speaker series.
Usually happens right downstairs here at KTOO.
Here at KTOO.
You guys rent out the space downstairs and put those on. And this, of course, being the larger event that you have, and it's going to be happening at UAS. All around, it looks like a couple different rooms, but mostly in the Egan Lecture Hall, right, where the lectures will happen and the panel. And this poster that you brought in is beautiful. And I want to shout out the artist here.
Yeah.
Is it Anari Kailinen?
Yes. And she actually had a display back in March 2020. And so back in the day, we were going to display a lot of her artwork as part of the exhibit as well. But she allowed us to use her artwork on this poster.
Oh, I see.
Which we're grateful for.
Is this some of the same people who were going to come
three years ago? The exact same speakers that
were going to come
in March 2020. The topics have changed a little bit, but it's interesting that it's still timely.
Yeah, that is amazing to me that there is. I mean, I think it seems like a lot of these topics will be things that are going to be on people's mind, especially over the coming year, especially what's going on in the world right now. Like, there's just a lot going on that is sort of on our minds. So to be able to sort of hear from folks, will they also be after their talk? Do they also take some questions at the end of their talks?
Is that absolutely?
The kind of thing? Yeah.
And after Friday's event, there's going to be a reception. So members of the public are welcome to take part in that and meet the speakers. There's also questions and answer sessions after each event, and the roundtable discussion at the end. People are welcome to ask their own questions.
Wow, that is so great. And I know the answer to this, but what is the charge for this event?
So all events are free and open to the public.
That is amazing. And that I know a lot of it is supported by the giant quest thing that you all do. And is it February that'll be happening again?
That's right. So our biggest fundraiser for the Juno World Affairs Council is also an annual event called the World Quest. And I think that's set for February of 2024.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll have people coming back to talk to you about that.
I know. I had Carl on last year. We talked a little bit about it and creating the questions and all that kind of stuff. It's really fun. But it supports this awesome work of being able to bring all of these cool professors and speakers and organizers of like this. Ari Cohen is the Director General of the International Center for Compassionate Organizations. Like, and that person's coming here. Heidi Cernica is an immigration attorney who works on migration, women, and human trafficking in El Paso, Texas. And Dr. Mara Kimmel executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska. And that's the one that we're going to have like the Alaska perspective about all of these various different issues. You mentioned Professor Warren Binford and her work, and also Dr. William Aroka, I believe is how you might say his name, is associate professor at the Middlebury Institute of International Studies. And his research focuses on international migration and human rights. These are the kind of people that inspire me because I could never do what they do, right? I could never, I mean, and they think so deeply about these issues and topics, and to be able to go and hear them speak on it and then sort of help us form our own opinions about things that might be coming up in various different ways over the next year, whether you vote or you're thinking about what's going on in Alaska and how that all relates to here. I just think that's really great. You know, that is really great. So I also wanted to make sure that you were able to share who your sponsors were for this event.
So our partner with this event is University of Alaska Southeast, but also Core Alaska Kensington Mine and Ramada by Wyndham.
Yeah. That's absolutely right. Okay, great. I want to mention that this is free to the public. Again, it's open to the public, no charge. It's October 13th and 14th. Friday starts at 5 p.m. Saturday, it runs from 10 to 5. I'm sure that in the schedule, there's a break to get a little something to eat because you're going to be using your brain as you listen to all these things happen. There is a lunch break out at UAS, which is nice. That's going to be cool. And this is all happening at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall. And you can find out more about all of this at JWAC.org. That's JWAC.org, a wonderful organization. And Heather, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about it. Is there anything else that I missed about the details for the weekend that we want to make sure to get out there?
No, just everyone is welcome. Please come and bring your questions, and we hope to see you there.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Up next, The Plight of the Penguin, a presentation from the Juno Audubon Society happening this Thursday. This is Juno Afternoon on community-supported KTOO. This week is KTOO's fall membership campaign. Juno Afternoon is one of the many programs and features that KTOO offers to the community and appreciates your support. If you've never become a member, now is a great opportunity to show support for the programs you love, including Juno Afternoon. We appreciate those of you who are already members, and it's a great reminder for you to take a moment to be sure your membership is up to date or consider making an additional gift. Thank you for your support. Visit ktoo.org and hit the donate button. You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. The Juno Audubon Society is presenting The Plight of the Penguin by Tyler Stern as part of their monthly series happening now through April. And joining me now in Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, is Brenda Wright from the Juno Audubon Society and Tyler Stern. Gwyneth Cheese, for you both being here today. How are you?
Hi. It's great to see the sun.
And it's good that winter is here because we know that we won't have weekly bird walks, but we'll be having monthly presentations from the Juno Audubon Society. So it's good to have you back in, Brenda. And tell us a little bit more about the series, when they usually happen, and how people can find out more information before we get into the specifics of this first one that you're doing.
Yeah, sure. That's great. It's always the second Thursday of the month, October through April. And we have all the next one is coming up in November is going to be on bats.
Bats. But penguins to bats. I love it.
Yes. Go from one height to another.
Yeah. Birds of all shapes and sizes.
Yes. Yes. And we always look forward to in December, we'll do a Christmas bird count. But our program will be something different. So stay tuned. Right now, all the fall ones are going to be at UAS at 6:30 p.m. at Egan Lecture Hall.
Egan Lecture Hall, 6:30 on the second Thursday of every month. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the best place to find out the whole schedule is on the website, right?
Yep, on the website or Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so juno-audubon-society.org, or you can just search Juno Audubon Society on Facebook or Google, and you will find that website. It has great schedule all the time. It's usually updated. And I do want to mention these are always open to the public.
Yes, open and free to the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. That's really great. Okay, so now the one you're doing this month, which is this Thursday. So this Thursday, the 12th of October at 6:30 p.m. at the Egan Lecture Hall.
Yes.
Is going to be Tyler Stern, who's joining us now. Tyler, tell us a little bit about The Plight of the Penguin. I love the title. It's like it's so ominous a little bit, right? But it is a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah. It's left sort of intentionally vague. And it's not just one penguin. It's a number of different penguins down there. But this talk is sort of specifically focusing on a group of three different penguins that live kind of more specifically on the Antarctic Peninsula. And the Antarctic Peninsula is sort of a little finger of Antarctica that sticks up towards South America. It happens to be the most heavily visited from cruise ships, which has nothing to do with the plight of these penguins. But it's also because of how far sort of north it extends, it's particularly susceptible to climate change. And that is kind of the key factor or issue affecting these penguins.
I see. Because I know that, I mean, people might be remembering the penguin movies that came out that were some great narrated movies. And because a lot of us haven't been to the Antarctic, right? So like, mm-hmm. we don't really know it. We know it's cold. We know it's snowy. We know it's icy. We know there's scientists who go down there to study stuff and different things that happen. And we know that there's penguins down there. And so what's the relationship to, because those penguin movies came out years ago. I think they were like almost 20 years ago now, it seems like. And has it gotten worse with basically what we're talking about here in terms of climate change? Is that what's threatening the penguins?
Yeah, it's a host of different factors, and we're going to kind of delve into a number of those and sort of how they compound. A lot of those penguin movies in particular were focusing on emperor penguins. So the beginning of this talk talks a little bit about penguins as a whole and is an introduction to Antarctica and the Antarctic Peninsula. So if you come in with limited knowledge on the subject, we're going to cover a lot of bases and then kind of get you up to speed in what's happening with these particular three different species of penguins, which are the Adelies, the Gentoos, and the Chinstrap penguins. But we'll talk briefly about the emperors, and they'll show kind of a little bit about where all over the world penguins live and talk briefly about all the different species.
I see. Mm-hmm. And Tyler, tell us a little bit about you and your background and how you got interested in penguins.
Well, I guess it started as a lifelong obsession with animals, and it led to a career as a naturalist and a guide and an educator. Birds have sort of become part of that passion. And a few years back, I started working on some of the expedition cruise ships that go down to the Antarctic Peninsula. So I've seen this for a few years, but not so much exactly my science, but I'm more reporting on the science of others who have been down there and witnessing this for 25 plus years and conducting a lot of these bird counts and surveys.
I see. Okay. Wow. That's fascinating. And I know that a lot of people who don't live in Alaska, when they see penguins, for some reason, they relate it to us, you know, in that way, right? But that's not an accurate fact.
Yes, that is correct. So penguins live down in, well, the Southern Ocean. And then up here, we have the polar bears. So in areas where you have polar bears, you don't have penguins. And in areas where you have penguins, you don't have polar bears. Though I'm sure
never the twain shall meet.
Yes. So I'm sure the polar bears would love to be dropped off in a land full of penguins.
They might like that. Probably pretty easy prey for them, I would think. Yeah. So, and I didn't recognize or realize that there were so many different species of penguins. And is there any major differences between them? Is it where they live, or do they have different features because of the different parts of the world that they live in?
So all of the existent penguins are still very, very similar in that they require cold water and need to, for access to cold water, which is why all of them live kind of distributed around the Southern Ocean. So that's kind of the surrounding waters around Antarctica. The furthest north any penguins live are just south of the equator. Those are the Galapagos penguins. And they still share all of the same characteristics as the penguins further down south. They just have access to much colder nutrient-rich water, which extends much further up north.
I see. Okay.
But yes, most, though there are differences in coloration and plumage, they're still very, very similar in shape and size, I guess. A little bit different in size.
Okay. Size might be one of the factors then, mm-hmm. probably. Okay. And so I know that people will go to this talk on Thursday at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall, 6:30 on Thursday, October 12th. And more information at judoautobahnsociety.org. But what can we do about this plight? Is there anything that we could be doing in the meantime? Like, let's say we can't make it to the talk on Thursday, or if there's other things, what can we do to help?
Ooh, yeah, great question.
Besides fixing climate change.
Yeah. One of the direct issues impacting these three species of penguins, the gentoos, the adelies, and the chinstraps, is access to krill. And one of the things that is popping up is an increase in the krill fishery. So a quick and easy thing you can do from home is just not purchasing products with krill or krill oil in them. So some people use it as a substitute for omega-3s or fish oils and such things, but supporting the krill fishing industry is not good for our penguins.
I see. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And then Brenda, so people can become members of the Juneau Audubon Society, right?
Yes, it's very easy. We've updated our webpage so that you can do it online.
Oh, absolutely. And is there an annual fee?
Yes. If you want to just be a local member, it's just $10.
$10?
I know. It's pretty expensive.
That's outrageous. That's great.
If you join the National Audubon Society, you automatically become a member of the local. You don't have to pay any other separate dues for the local.
Awesome. I see. Okay, that's great. And these are the monthly talks. They'll be happening from now through April.
Yes.
So this Thursday is the Plight of the Penguin with Tyler Stern. And then November, we're going to be talking about some bats. And then the upcoming schedule will be available as it goes. The bird count in December, obviously, as well. It's much to stay tuned with the Juneau Audubon Society. I can't wait to have Brenda back with the guest for the bats. That will be really fun. And Tyler, break a leg on Thursday for this event. I do want to mention again that it is free and open to the public. And these all happen at UAS Egan Lecture Hall. On the second Thursday of the month. Right. Yeah. Is there anything I've missed, Brenda?
No, but tell people that to keep an eye out on the rare bird alert, because we're still in migration season. So we're starting to see a few hawks and owls that only pass through Juneau. And on a nice day like this, get your binoculars out and you don't have to wipe them every 3 seconds to look at birds.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming and really appreciate it. Gunath Cheesh.
Thanks, Blessin.
Thank you.
That will do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. Have a terrific Tuesday. On tomorrow's show, we'll have a look at the upcoming UAS Evening at Egan Talk, plus a preview of the upcoming Friends of the State Libraries, Archives, and Museums Gala and behind-the-scenes tour. Juneau Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juneau 104.3 and KAUK Juneau Auk Bay 91.7. Hello out the road. Find the show online at KTOO.org/JuneauAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, provide feedback, suggest ideas, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juneau Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a glorious Juneau evening. And don't forget to go to KTOO.org and donate during this week's membership drive. We'll be right back.